This is Jay Sekulow. In conjunction with state governors, the president to order thousands of National Guard to assist in securing our border.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The president following through on his plans to protect and defend our southern border, now wanting to send what looks like as many as 4,000 troops, National Guard, down to the border until that wall is built.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Border security is homeland security, which is national security. It's not a partisan issue. It's not something we can separate out. It's core to being a sovereign nation.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. So here's what you've got. The President of the United States has issued an executive order proclamation that's going to basically do this. It's going to allow, and he's saying somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000 National Guard troops in conjunction with the state governors to go down to the border and secure our national security by securing our borders. Now, some on the left are saying this is ridiculous, this is an outrage, but let me give you some statistics. This is not the first president to do this. In fact, both President Bush and President Obama sent troops to the borders, these National Guard troops, in conjunction with governors during their presidencies. Why? Because you need enforcement on the border, and National Guard are trained appropriately to do that. Now, this is in conjunction with our state governors. Now, I will tell you also that we're going to talk about a legal issue when we come back from the break. It's called posse comitatus, and people worry about, are you making the military into the police? And we're going to go through why that's not a legal issue here. But let me just say again that this is a necessary move to secure our border while border enhancements and security are being put in place. Jordan?
Yeah, so we're talking about 2,000 to 4,000 National Guard troops, specifically in the states like Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and California. California is the only state so far that has not had their governor actually respond to this. Already, we've seen the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, the governor of Arizona, Doug Ducey, and the governor of New Mexico, Susana Martinez. All three of them have embraced this, are excited about this, and working with the Trump administration to get this done. So they support the president's action and the action of the Department of Homeland Security. And in California, with a Democrat governor who is very left when it comes to immigration and illegal immigration, combating illegal immigration, has remained silent so far. But he was participating in the phone call with the other governors, so he didn't ignore that. And I think that it would be to his peril to ignore the serious problems and the fact that there is precedent. President Obama sent 1,200 back in 2010. 1,200 were sent by President Obama. George W. Bush sent 6,000 National Guard troops for 2 years. That led to 300 pounds of drugs being seized, 300,000 pounds of drugs being seized in those 2 years, as well as the arrest of 173,000 illegal immigrants just in 2 years. So it's worked in the past. Yep. Both Republican and Democrats presidents have utilized this. I think the outrage on the left about it is just because they want to be outraged at President Trump. It has nothing to do with
it's pure politics.
If it was Barack Obama doing this, they'd be saying, "Oh, he totally has the power to do that. No question about it." They wouldn't even be covering it.
So we're going to talk about what the presidential power is, but here's the question that I want to ask and get your comments and feedback on. How do you feel about the importance of securing our national border, and how do you feel about sending National Guard, utilizing National Guard to do it? We will take your calls and comments about this at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Dan, there's been a lot of talk in Washington already. We only have a few seconds here before the break. What are you hearing?
Well, I'll just quickly say it's ironic that the outrage of those opposed to it are coming from the same people, Jay, that blocked a permanent solution for border security. That's the only reason the president has to engage in temporary border security, is because the left blocked a permanent plan to do it. And the president is saying, until I get that permanent plan, I'll use the resources I have to secure that border.
All right, don't forget, we're in a matching challenge at the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll take any amount you donate. We get a matching gift for us. That really makes a huge difference. By the way, phone line is starting to light up on this. 1-800-684-3110. Is the security of our national border, is that a national security issue for you? Or are you concerned about protecting our borders? We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. We come back from the break.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be Ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. It's the expectation that the National Guard will deploy personnel in support of our Customs and Border Patrol security mission. This, according to Homeland Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen. It looks like it's going to be somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000 National Guard troops deployed. This is not the first time National Guard troops have been deployed to secure our border. In fact, President Obama and President Bush did it as well. President Bush sent about 6,000 guards to the border. President Obama sent about 1,200 to the border, so this is kind of an in-between number. Right now, even the state of Texas has 100 guardsmen deployed on the border. So this is in one sense, this is nothing new, but this is the president taking, I think, you know, an initiative here to get on this early because of concerns about our national security, and border security impacts national security. But this is in conjunction with the states, and the question, I guess, is. Do we know the exact, is it four states that have been contacted?
Four states. So it's Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, and California. Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, via their governors, have all indicated their support for this idea. They want to participate. They're absolutely behind it. Some are even praising it publicly.
And I think some other state governors that even aren't on the border have offered to send National Guard.
Yeah, they've offered for assistance, though it would certainly starts with these states. It is California would be the other southern border state.
Yeah.
That has not yet responded. They are the only one of these four that has a Democrat governor who's very left-leaning when it comes to illegal immigration, kind of wants into open borders kind of politician. So they've remained silent. They didn't come out right away and say no, but so far they have been silent and I think that, again, there will be pressure there on him because his state's feeling the impact of it just like these others are.
So, Thane, your sense, I mean, with Washington, with Congress not giving everything that was needed to get the wall construction going, although at least we got to start, the fact is that, I mean, they may, you know, I don't know, we'll get some, you can give us kind of the detailed reaction to this, but the reality is they're not getting their job done, so the president's taking some initiation here.
Yeah, I think there's a certain amount of irony here, Jay, especially with California being the one dragging their feet on this. It sort of mirrors what happened in Washington, D.C. The president first came to Congress, proposed a permanent solution for border security that, by the way, was packaged with something that many on the left had said that they wanted, said they were asking for, and that was a permanent solution on DACA. Jay, House and Senate, both Republicans and Democrats, but specifically Democrats, blocked a deal like that from happening. What I think you're seeing today is the president just saying, well, look, you might not be able to do your job, job, but I still have a sacred duty to secure the borders. I will do it using the resources I have. Jay, I don't know if California is going to come on board or not, but if they don't, it's exactly what we saw in Washington, D.C. It's the left not taking this obligation seriously.
All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah, Yvonne is calling in from Oregon. Online for Yvonne. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Yvonne. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm just calling to let you know I think it's very important and a very good move what the president's doing. But I also want to let you know that since yesterday, our governor, Kate Brown, has said she will not send troops there, that the president is just doing this as a distraction from all the things that are going on in the White House.
Yeah, well, really, so when President Bush did it and President Obama did it, I guess it was a distraction from what was going on in their White House. And your governor did tweet out yesterday, if at real Donald Trump asked me to deploy Oregon troops to the Mexico border, I'll say no. As commander of Oregon's guard, I'm deeply troubled by Trump's plan to militarize our border. So let me tell you what it's not doing. It's not militarizing our border. And it's not militarizing the border, if the governor would read what the law is, because they are asking this to be done in coordination and cooperation with the state governors. So what would be an issue, which is the Posse Comitatus Act, which prevents the military, and except in very few circumstances, from conducting law enforcement, it does not become Posse Comitatus when you have the Army National Guard and Air National Guard under state control. So your governor doesn't even understand what the law is, and her party's previous president deployed National Guard troops to our border. So this is politics. And you shouldn't be playing politics with national security.
It's also like a state like Oregon, which has no border, does not border any, not to the north, not to the south, that is trying to politicize this and trying to get their voice in there. So your governor wasn't asked to do anything, was not asked to provide any troops, but is, I think, using it as a political moment just to kind of put out their liberal bona fides and say, well, you know, I would never do this. Of course, they're not dealing with the threat of what happens when you have open borders in your state, because they are, again, they don't border any other country in Oregon. And then the second, again, it's just they're not being asked. The State Guard in Oregon is not being asked to get involved.
Yeah, so, all right, we're taking more of your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. It does beg this issue, though, Than, and that is, what is the next move on border security as it relates to Congress, as it relates to the security of the fence or the wall?
Well, it needs to be moving a comprehensive package to provide a permanent solution. There are multiple proposals out there. Probably the one that has the most momentum right now is Chairman Goodlatte's in the House. It tracks very closely to what the White House has proposed. It provides a rolling solution for the DACA recipients as well as a permanent wall. But here's the bottom line, Jay. Both House and Senate Republicans and Democrats just simply haven't gotten this job done. And so until they do, the president is going to have to secure the border essentially on his own. Now, for a long-term fix, he's going to need cooperation from Washington, D.C. But, Jay, it hasn't been for a result of him not asking. He's come. He's put out an outline.
Yep.
There have been bills introduced in both houses. Neither chamber has been able to move one, though.
Secretary Nielsen was at the White House on Wednesday, and she went to the podium at the press briefing. She made some really powerful statements. Let me have you take a listen to this one.
Despite a number of steps that this administration has taken, we continue to see unacceptable levels of illegal drugs, dangerous gang activity, transnational criminal organizations, and illegal immigration flow across our border. This threatens not only the safety of our communities and children, but also our very rule of law, on which, as you know, our country was founded.
Yeah.
It's time to act.
Well, it's also interesting. Susie on Facebook asks us this. Since when did protecting our national border become controversial? And as Jordan said, I think really properly, when President Obama did it, there was not a media outcry. When President Bush did it, I don't recall a media outcry. But this president does, and all of a sudden, it's a constitutional crisis by these state governors that are left of center, which is, look, it's a free country. Say whatever you want. But let me tell you what it's not. It's not a violation of the Posse Comitatus statute. Okay? It's not a violation of the law. This is in conjunction with the state governors. The troops are under state government control, state governor's control. That voids any issue on a federalization plan, and they need to read what the law is, not what they wish it would be for their political agenda. And I won't be playing politics with national security. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Jordan, you want to grab another? Should we grab another? Yeah, we got time. Let's grab another.
Fred in Virginia on Live 5. Fred, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Fred.
Oh, hey, Jay. I just want to say I'm a retired military.
Yeah, we're having a lot of trouble. Fred, let me do this. We're going to put you back on hold here. Let's see if we can reset the call because we're having a lot of trouble hearing you. But I do want to get your comments, so stay tuned here. Than, let me ask this question because one of the things that people are going to be asking about, and it's understandable, is why are we not getting border security through with a Republican majority in the House and Senate? And I think that's a very fair question to be asking.
It's a very fair question, and quite simply, it comes down to there is a lack of will in Congress. And look, it both parties are to blame, but Republicans do control both chambers. And if they wanted to move, let's say, the bill that Chairman Goodlatte has put forward that would both provide the money for all of the construction of the wall as well as a permanent DACA solution, they could do that. They could move that through the Senate with 50 votes. They wouldn't need a single Democrat vote if there was the will to do it. Jay, we've seen this time and time again. Except for the tax cuts, there has been a very difficult time inside the Republican conference to find consensus. I will say this, though, at least on the border security portion of this, it seems clear that the administration is not going to sit and wait on Congress. They're going to need Congress for a permanent DACA solution. But this is the president saying, while I have to work with Congress for a permanent solution, I will not lay down my sacred duty to defend that border in the meantime. Jay, I think that's a huge stride in the right direction.
I absolutely agree. And I think the president's plan here is correct. All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Let's try Fred one more time.
Yeah, Fred in Virginia, line 5. Fred, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Jay, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we're great now.
Okay, great. Hey, I'm a retired military.
Yes, sir. Thanks for your service.
And I'm wholeheartedly, thank you, sir. I'm wholeheartedly in support of President Trump's decision to secure our borders with the help of the Army National Guard. I served in the Pennsylvania Army National Guard as well. And the president has a right and an obligation and duty to protect our borders, just like you have a responsibility to secure your home. You just don't let anybody walk in your home.
Right.
There's a process we have to go through. There's nothing wrong with going through the process and for legal immigration. And the question needs to be asked, why are so many people in such a desperate situations in these countries? What's going on in those countries where it's so untenable that they feel they have to come here? They need to start making changes in their own country instead of coming over here.
Yeah, well, some countries are doing, some countries are actually trying to encourage their people not to. But you know what the problem is? And that is the politicization of this issue. And when you come back from the break, we're going to hear a soundbite from Jay Johnson, former DHS secretary, served under President Obama. He thinks this is a terrible idea. I wonder what he said in 2011 or 2012 when President Obama did it. Let's see if we can find any soundbites from him then. All right, we'll take your calls and comments when we come back.
All right, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. Do you agree the use of the National Guards to help secure our southern border? 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. Get your comments in through Facebook and Periscope as well, and go to ACLJ.org. Support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be Ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So Jay Johnson was the DHS Secretary under President Obama. Now, he served from 2013 to 2016. However, in 2012, President Obama sent 1,200 National Guard troops to our southern border for security. But listen to Jay Johnson's response to President Trump doing the same, proposing the same thing 4 years later.
This idea of putting the military on the border is problematic for several reasons. One, you know, when you talk about military on the border, it conjures up an image of soldiers in uniform standing there with bayonets on the Rio Grande. We actually have a law against what we refer to as a posse comitatus, where the U.S. military cannot engage in domestic law enforcement for good reason. That's been true since 1878. And so if you deploy the Guard to the border, they can do no more than support.
So here's the thing. Jay Johnson is trying to say that this is federalizing troops. When President Obama did it, they didn't federalize troops. When President Bush did it, they didn't federalize troops. And when President Trump's doing it, they're not federalizing troops. This is under the state control of the state National Guard, which is under the governor's control. So even if it's Army National Guard or Air Force National Guard, if under state control, so it's a partnership in that sense, there's no violation of the Posse Comitatus statute. And this idea that now all of a sudden it's no good, but when President Obama did it or President Bush did it, it was great, and there was no problems, it shows you what this is. They're politicizing our national security. And that is not a good thing. And I think all of us, you know, those of us that do constitutional law know the distinctions here. And if you do statutory interpretation, you know the distinctions. And Jay Johnson knows the distinctions too. He's just politicized it. That's all this is.
Yeah, so they don't like this because it's President Trump doing it. They would have no problem if you know, because President Obama had done it as well on the border. That's why the guards were utilized for border security. Would Jay Johnson have been mocking it then and saying, well, President Obama, you know, all you can do with these guys is, you know, have support? No, of course not. They would have gone through the same analysis we've been going through, which is that they can do more than support when you're working in tandem with the governors who are actually authorizing their National Guard from their state to take part in this. What the federal government is doing is say, we will allow you to assist in what is a federal function usually on the border. And we've seen that in a lot of cases before. States have tried to step up on their own without federal authorization. So courts have said, no, you can't do that. But if the federal government authorizes you to act, you certainly can. So I just believe it's become this political issue instead of common sense. We have gaps. This is necessary because we haven't built the wall. We haven't gotten the increased staffing on the border with Border Patrol agents. And so how do you fill the gaps? Well, you ask the governors from the border states, are you willing to send your state guard there? And so far, out of the four states that have been asked, three, Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona, are ready to go. Only one, California, has remained silent. They have not said no yet, but they have remained silent from their governor,
Jerry
Brown. What's so
interesting about this, it's clear that it's being done in coordination with the governor. So that eliminates the problem of the Posse Comitatus Act, number one. Number two, they're going to remain in a support role until Congress takes the action necessary to secure the border, which begs the question, Than, as to when is that going to happen? And then we'll take some more calls when we come back after that. But that's it begs the question. When's Congress going to act?
As soon as Congress finds the will to secure the border as well, they're guilty of this as well, Jay. I mean, both chambers have considered legislation and haven't moved it forward. Look, and I also think it's important to point out that even though the National Guard can't engage in law enforcement, I mean, think about how many things they can do down there to better free up the Border Patrol to do that main law enforcement duty. I mean, logistics, coordination, administrative tasks, you name it, on down the line it goes. Just very simply, Jay, more personnel will improve law enforcement, even though that National Guard isn't the one engaging in law enforcement. Common sense move, but you know what? Congress better get itself moving because they have to be involved in a permanent solution.
There's no question about it. All right, we're going to go back to our phones. 1-800, a lot of calls coming in on this. 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to Jim calling in from Ohio on line one. Jim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jim.
Jim's from Oregon.
Oh, I'm Oregon. Okay.
Yep.
Well, anyway, I want to make a quick comment from Oregon, because you got that comment from the other Oregon, and I live in a very liberal state. The liberal, the left, there is no wrong and right. It's whatever the liberals are doing that matters, period. And it's some kind of a genius, actually, because they just stick together like glue, like you can't believe. Whether it's wrong or right, they just stick together, period. And we have to understand that in the United States of America, that no matter what happens, the liberals are going to stick together no matter what.
Well, look, I think there's some real truth to that. I mean, they tend to do a better job than conservatives on sticking together, although I think that's changing. But here's the fundamental issue here. This is in the nation's interest. This isn't affecting anybody's constitutional rights. It is impacting and hopefully will assist in securing our borders. And I don't understand why people will not say securing the borders is a good thing when you've got a historical precedent here of two previous administrations doing exactly that. So this is not a novel suggestion, but it's coming from this president, so all of a sudden it becomes, you know, controversial. When it was President Obama, President Bush, not so much. So Jay Johnson's raising all these red flags, former DHS secretary, but I don't know if we found any statements yet from him on when he was, we're looking there, but this would have been before he was actually in office. But I was curious, it just was curious to me that he would make these statements when the person he worked for did precisely the same thing.
Yeah, Dan is called in from Washington, D.C. online, too. Dan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Dan.
Hi, how y'all doing? I just want to say exactly what you just said, Jay, that this is not a state issue. This is a national security interest issue, and it's a great thing that we're using National Guard, that the states are willing to use their National Guard, their sovereign troops, to help in the federal process. But the federal government, our federal army, should be involved in this because it's to secure our nation's borders from illegal people breaking the law, not only to come into our country illegally, but breaking the laws once they're here and disrupting our nation's sovereignty and our nation's peace. So this is not a state issue. This is a federal issue.
Well, it's both. It's both a state issue and a federal issue. And because the states have legitimate security interests of securing the citizens of their state, and the federal government also has those same issues of people not coming in illegally. In this situation, it is basically a partnership, if you will, between the federal government and the state government. The state government has the National Guard under their control, and that's why there's no violation of any legal statute, legal acts, regarding this deployment. And it's been a deployment that's been utilized by previous administrations. So the historical precedent is there to get the job done. And the question is, why is it now such a turmoil, if you will, or such a big news story or such debate when presidents have been doing this for basically going on now, what, 16 years?
Yeah, I mean,
maybe 18?
And again, this is why you actually will have more flexibility utilizing State Guard and getting the sign off by the governor, so that the governors of each of these states is authorizing the State Guard to act, you know, on behalf of the National Guard. But so the Texas Air National Guard or Texas National Guard is being authorized by Governor Abbott to work on these border issues, that you don't then run afoul of the Posse Comitatus, the act. And because of that, you don't have the same kind of restrictions that everybody on the left is now trying to put on These members of the National Guard, which is just not the case when the governors are still in control, technically.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to be here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, go over to ACLJ.org. We're streaming it audio or video or both. You can also go to Facebook or Periscope, get your comments in. You can watch the next hour of the broadcast, the next half hour of the broadcast, which will be uninterrupted. Also, let me encourage you to do something else here, and that is support the work of the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate to us, we get a matching gift for. We encourage that. ACLJ.org. We'll be back with your calls at 800-684-3110 in just a moment.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org.
Back to the broadcast. We're talking about the President of the United States deploying somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000 National Guard. This will be under the control of the state governors. This is something that's been done by both President Obama and President Trump and President Bush. So three presidents have now done this. It's, of course, now controversial because why? Well, it's because President Trump is doing it. The President Obama had 1,200 National Guard troops deployed. President Bush sent about 6,000 guards National Guard to secure our borders in 2006. So you had Jay Johnson, the former DHA secretary, saying, oh, this is creating all kinds of problems because you're going to violate the Posse Comitatus statute, which is you don't want the military engaged in police action. Well, this is state controlled by state governors. The National Guard's reporting to the state governors here. So there is no Posse Comitatus statute violation. So I wish all these commentators would actually look at the law before they make comments. But having said that this is to secure our national border, and this should not be politics. But unfortunately, it has been.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Posse Comitatus Act does not apply to the Army National Guard and Air National Guard while under state control. A governor can then theoretically use the Guard for law enforcement and to keep order inside the state.
Which
the border
they have for
is
decades.
Inside the state as well. I mean, it's right. You are on your state's territory. That's why we're looking at this individually as the border, the southern border that Texas has with Mexico, that Texas has. We're not talking about it just the southern border. We're looking at Texas, how they have it, how New Mexico has it, how Arizona has it, and how California has it. So it's being divided up that way so that they've got the ability to be utilized this way by the governor. And then the federal government is saying, we will allow you to assist us, so you don't have that issue as well, since it's an immigration border security issue that involves the federal government. So it's the authorization is really coming from the governors.
Exactly.
And that is the important point here, is that they are not just going to have to be in a support role. They may mostly end up doing that because there's also Border Patrol, but they don't have to only be doing that. We've seen when President Bush did this, with 6,000 people, that was without the technology they have today and things like that. It's gotten much better. They stopped 175,000 people from crossing the border illegally. They freed 100 people from human trafficking and captured 300,000 pounds of drugs.
Yeah. So these are big issues, folks, and they're important issues. Let's go ahead and try to get a call before the break.
William in California on line 6. William, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, William. Go ahead.
Hey, Jay, how you doing this morning?
Good.
Hey, it's good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have to agree with the brother from Virginia. The other guardsman, back in the early 2000s, I was on Operation Border Eagle.
Yep.
And what we done is we did assist the Department of Agriculture, Customs, Border Patrols, everyone else in doing our job. But the biggest thing is we do need a border, if not just open up the whole North America. So, and in doing so, we must. If another 9/11 happened, they were threatening to blow up national monuments, everything else. And what do we do? What do we do? People will complain after the fact about why didn't the government act? Why didn't the states act? Why not act right now and then have a certain amount of control going on there?
Well, I think you just brought up a good point, and that is, do this thing with control factors and control points and pivots so that you can deploy where you need to deploy people. In other areas where you find out you don't need that many there, you can redeploy them to other areas under the governor's control. And this gives maximum flexibility to protect our borders. And if we don't protect our borders, we're not securing our people. And Congress then needs to understand that they're dropping the national security interests of the American people every time they don't do what's being asked here.
Well, Jay, they're putting the political question ahead of their sacred duty to protect the border. And listen, I think a previous caller, I think it was Jim, said that it was genius maybe for Democrats to stick together on this. Look, it's not genius to stick together on something that compromises national security, on something that allows people who want to harm the country in. So, look, the political question has to be made secondary to the obligation to secure the border. And, Jay, we have not seen that in Congress recently.
All right, folks, when we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls. We've got two lines open now, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. How important is it to secure our southern border? Do you agree with the use of National Guard troops to do it? 1-800-684-3110 and support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We have a matching challenge. Double the impact of your donation this month at aclj.org.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be Ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Good to be in our media center today. We're joining us in our studios here is our director of policy, Professor Harry Hutchison, who's also a senior counsel at the ACLJ. Harry, let me ask you this question. It's a question that I think is non-controversial or non-controversial issue, and that is the president is recommending the deployment of somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000 National Guard troops under state control, state governor's control. President Obama did it with about 1,200 troops. President Bush did it with about 6,000 troops. This is not a controversial or illegal act.
Absolutely not. But in our highly politicized environment, it has become controversial in part because the left refuses to face the facts. Fact number one, the Constitution is not a suicide pact. Fact number two, the southern border has not been secured for decades. And fact number three, the problem has worsened over the last 10 to 15 years.
Yeah. And Than, there's also some of this initiative is having to take place because Congress has refused or failed to act.
Well, just abjectly failed to pass a permanent solution, one that included both DACA and border security. And Jay, I would say the only place in America where this is controversial is Washington, D.C. And I think part of the evidence of that is that this is an issue that many Democrats voted for President Trump into office to handle. The American people want the border secured, and really that cuts across political lines. But here in Washington, D.C., the politicians have not yet caught up to that. Jay, they are pandering to the radical left base on this. But if you look at their broader electorate, I think you would find wide support for the border security piece of this.
I mean, here's the question. Is the radical left base Think we should just open up the borders and whoever comes in, comes in? I mean, is that what they, I mean, is that their position? Just open it up, whatever. Let's not even have immigration when you come into the United States through Ellis Island, like my grandparents did in the old days. Or now you don't have to use Ellis Island. So we have INS. We have immigration centers. But let's just close all those down. Just say whoever wants to show up, come on in. What country in the world is going to do that? I mean, why would you do that? And I'm a big advocate of immigration. You know that. I've said that so many times. And I'm a big advocate of comprehensive immigration reform. And that includes, I don't have a problem with pathway to citizenship so long as the border is secure and you know who's here. My grandparents did it. And I think it was great. That's how I get to be an American and my kids get to be an American. My parents, grandparents became Americans. But you got to do it through a system. It's a, you know, this, you know, when Than mentioned, that's what kind of got me off there, Than. I mean, the radical left is, oh, this is horrible. Meanwhile, what do you want to do when you've got these controversies and problems on our southern border? And we, what do we do? Nothing? Because Congress won't act? I don't think that's the way it's supposed to be.
No, and now they, specifically from the White House, they have said that the National Guard will remain in this role until Congress takes the action necessary to close the loopholes undermining our border security efforts, including ending the practice of catch and release. Again, not putting an end date on this. It probably will take up a couple months to get these National Guard troops in place on the border and working with the Border Patrol and customs and all the different federal agencies that are also involved. But they're not saying we're going to do this just for a year. What they're saying is we will do this until the laws are changed. We could take a phone call now, 1-800-684-3110, to talk to us on the air. Ava is calling in from Florida online, too. Ava, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Ava.
Hi, Jay. Hi, Jordan. Great. I just want to say that I agree with President Trump's decision to deploy the National Guard. You know, the left are playing with people's lives. I mean, what about parents who have lost children due to human trafficking? Are they even thinking about that?
Nope. They're not. And I'm glad you brought up human trafficking. Because does anybody think that allowing our borders to be porous to human trafficking is a good idea? Or would you say, you know what, we're going to secure our borders just to stop human trafficking? If that was the only reason, then you got drugs and everything else, but just human trafficking. Would you say it was okay to deploy National Guard, if necessary, under state governor's control to do something to eradicate human trafficking? Now, I want to hear my friends on the left say, oh, no, we think that would be a terrible move. Harry, they would never say that.
No.
I hope not anyways.
Well, it's possible that many people in the left, they are so insulated from the problems which accrue when illegals exploit our border that they really do not focus on any of the problems. So, for instance, they are insulated. They live behind walls. The radical left, they live behind a wall created by affluence. They say that we are all citizens of the world and nations should not have borders, although many of them live in walled and gated and highly secured communities themselves.
Precisely.
So they ignore the problems which face ordinary Americans.
And I'm glad that caller raised the issue, Jordan, of human trafficking, because we wrote at the ACLJ, we wrote a law that could be adopted, has been adopted in I think most states now, on human trafficking. And this is a huge problem. And it's border security will help eradicate that. And I don't know how you could say don't put National Guard troops to help eradicate that. I mean, really. It's not even a close call. Let's go ahead and take a call.
When that issue, too, was not even highlighted as much human trafficking. So back when the Bush administration did this in 2006 to 2008 with the 6,000 guardsmen, the White House under the Trump administration actually highlighted the fact that in that time period, they were able to rescue 100 people from human trafficking. Now, that was a time period, 2006 to 2008, where human trafficking, the laws weren't great on it. People were not fully up to speed. Neither was law enforcement. And so the fact that 100 people were rescued then, I can't even imagine how many will be now with this increase in people, bodies, and support on the border.
No.
So that it's because our Border Patrol agents need it. Certainly until the wall is done and until there's more funding so there can be more Border Patrol agents.
So, Than, this which begs the point here. I mean, couldn't shouldn't we be doing as we work with Congress to get border security in place? Shouldn't we be putting forward the reasons why we need our border secure? Drug trafficking, we know about. Illegal immigration in that can cause other issues. But also, the human trafficking issue is huge. And I mean, again, at the ACLJ, we help craft laws that have been adopted in many, many states on this issue. And as Jordan said, you know, 10, 12 years ago, this wasn't even being discussed much. And then we did this major project, the ACLJ. It took us a year to write laws for basically 50 states. But that would be in and of itself enough to get border security in place. Because if you stop the ability to make that a profitable enterprise, in other words, you deny access in to those engaged in human trafficking, you could stop the problem.
No question about it, Jay. I mean, we did make that a part of our advocacy to Capitol Hill. And look, one of the reactions that we got, even on Capitol Hill, people did not understand how big of a problem this was in the United States, Jay. They hear trafficking and they think overseas. No, this is a problem that is prevalent in the United States, and it is imperative that we stop it. But Jay, I want to pivot back to the reason that these packages that would have stopped much of this did not happen. They did not happen because, by and large, Democrats said, we want a permanent solution on DACA. Well, then the president came out and he offered them not only the solution they were asking for, but really a much more generous offer, one that was available to anyone who would have been eligible for DACA, not just having participated. Jay, the left rejected that offer. It was ironclad proof that they did not actually want a solution. Yep. They wanted to engage in the political question and carry that all the way through the election.
This is all about political messaging, which it should not be. This should be about national security.
Absolutely. So it's important to note that much of the outcry against the president's effort to secure the border is simply grounded in pure politics. I think the Democrats, they're looking forward to the midterms. They're looking forward to having a wedge issue. And so they want to keep it alive. And so therefore, they oppose any real solution, even if the solution includes solving the problem of human trafficking and transnational flows of drugs and transnational flows of deadly gangs that are exploiting our southern border. Yep. They don't really want a solution.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you ultimately look at this issue, you can go two ways. You either support open borders, or you're going to support moves like this, working in conjunction with states, utilizing already available resources until you can convince the political apparatuses, here would be Congress, to get the right legislation to President Trump's desk, so that the National Guard would not have to be utilized this way. But as we've seen in the past, until you do that, it's why President Bush had to do it. It's why President Obama had to do it. Now President Trump doing it, because unless you really secure the border, build the wall, get more funding to the Border Patrol so they can have more agents and facilities along the border, then you're going to have to take measures like this into action so that you can try and stop the unbelievable flow of illegal goods and drugs, trafficked people, and illegal immigration as well.
All right, we come back from the break. Last segment, we're going to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We've opened up a couple of lines for you, 800-684-3110. Let me also encourage you to do this. We're in a matching challenge for the American Center for Law and Justice. This is March and April, our matching challenge month. We had a great month in March. April, we're running a little bit behind, so we could really use your help. ACLJ.org on that. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. ACLJ.org. And as I said, when we come back from the break, more of your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be Ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. Everyone, we are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. It's the last segment, so we're going to take as many calls in this 9 minutes as we can take. Jordan, let's go right to him.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. Pat in California on line 5. Pat, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, thank you. I am for securing the borders. My question is, I live in California, and does a posse comitatus come into play if Governor Brown does not authorize it or approve?
Well, if he doesn't authorize it or approve, his it's not likely they're going to be sending any National Guard down there. This is a cooperative effort.
You then have to get into the very complicated effort of federalizing the Guard. I think that is not what the president is proposing here. He wants to work with states, do what they're comfortable with doing, come up with plans to utilize their individual guards that report to the governors to do what's best, because, you know, the Texas border with Mexico is a lot different than New Mexico border, and different than Arizona's border, and certainly different than California's border. So I think that together, you want to work with plans that the state is comfortable with and it's going to be most effective, which is why it's not just talking about federalizing it and the federal government fully taking this over. It's not. It's about utilizing the people in the states who know their borders best, who know what resources they have available, and to best utilize it. So giving that ability for the states to also have a role here.
Yeah, I think that's precisely correct. So, again, Harry, I mean, it's, if you have a governor that's not cooperating, I don't see federalization here. Do you?
No, and it's important to keep in mind that Governor Brown has given up on pragmatism, and he has adopted an approach that is purely ideological. This is a governor who is willing to pardon convicted criminals so they won't be deported. In other words, this is a governor who is committed to increasing the criminal population in the state of California.
Yep. All right, we're taking your calls. 800-684-3110. Let's go to Chris in Nevada, line one. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Is there any benefit in the future for President Trump, when he rolls out a policy, to take a preemptive strike and to mention that a prior president like Obama did this in 2012?
So that's you're talking about a political question. I'll defer that to Fan and Jordan.
Yeah, go ahead, Fan.
Well, the White House actually did mention this. When they rolled it out, they reminded people of the legal precedent. They reminded them of the precedent that both Obama and Bush had rolled it out. I would say this, though. I think that's a good political move. But look, their focus needs to be doing on the right thing for the right reason and then letting the chips fall where they may. So even if they hadn't done that, which I think is good they did, this is the right move, plain and simple.
I think I agree. I don't think it's complicated. I think it's fine to use the historical precedent, Harry, for showing what historically has happened, but I don't think you have to have as long as it's legal and constitutional, you don't have to have a prior example.
Absolutely.
But it does help. It helps politically.
Absolutely not. But it's also important to keep in mind that the number of troops that President Trump has so far committed to the border, it is less than the number of troops than President Bush sent several years ago. And so the president could send 10, 20, 30,000 troops or National Guard troops if necessary.
You know, I was at the White House on Wednesday and knew that this discussion was going on. I mean, I saw just in some of my meetings the folks coming out. But I thought that what the DHS secretary said was really appropriate, And that was, why is this? Can we play that bite again? Why are we doing this? I think that's important for people to understand. Why are we doing this? So take a listen.
Despite a number of steps that this administration has taken, we continue to see unacceptable levels of illegal drugs, dangerous gang activity, transnational criminal organizations, and illegal immigration flow across our border. This threatens not only the safety of our communities and children, but also our very rule of law, on which, as you know, our country was founded.
So I think she set the case there, and then, I would have highlighted the sex trafficking issue, which is huge in all of this. All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, Ruth in California on line 4. Ruth, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Ruth, you're on the air.
Hello. My question was about our governor, Jerry Brown.
Yep.
Well, first of all, I support President Trump 100% in what he's doing. And so many of us in this state do support President Trump. And Jerry Brown doesn't go along with this.
Yes.
There's nothing that can be done for us in California.
I can't imagine that the president's going to federalize the troops. Maybe I haven't looked at the legal consequences of that, what would have to take place. I think, look, the idea here is to get the governor's cooperating. Jordan, you said the governor was on the phone.
Yeah, he just has not said yes. So the other three governors, Arizona's, New Mexico's, and Texas, have said yes. They're all three are Republicans, so maybe it was a little bit easier political calculation for them, though it shouldn't have to be about politics when you're talking about securing the border, since they are border states that border Mexico. But the California governor has been involved in the discussions.
Yep.
Just has not committed to going this route with the National Guard in California, the California National Guard. That being said, I think that maybe a time for people in California to speak up, contact the governor's office there, let them know that you want the state to work with the federal government in securing your border in California with Mexico. We'll go back to the phones. John in Texas on line 3. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have one quick question. Why did our government not get off of its blessed assurance a year ago? Why did we have to hear about some caravans coming in from South America before anybody did anything?
Well, look, the border issue and the border security issue has been a front and center agenda item for the president. But then, not to blame your colleagues across the hill there, across the street, but this has been an ongoing struggle for the administration with Congress.
Well, I think it's benevolent of you to not blame them, Jay, but I'll blame them. The bill came before both chambers, and neither one of them was able to pass it. And by the way, only three Democrats voted for the version that tracked with the White House framework, but 14 Republicans also opposed it, Jay. So, you know, the reason that we're in this situation in the first place is that the permanent solution was not able to pass Congress. Now, I hope that what's taking place this week will actually be the catalyst to restart that debate, because I think what you'll see is a bipartisan cross-section of Americans come out in support of this. They want the border secure. They want a permanent solution on DACA that will have to come through Congress, and if there's enough political pressure from the people that cast the votes, well, then maybe the politicians will come back to the table.
All right, let's grab the last call.
Yeah, George. Jamie in New Mexico, we've heard from a lot of people in these border states today, now from New Mexico as well. Jamie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to comment about our Republican governor, Susana Martinez, supporting the National Guard troops. However, she is only our governor until the end of this year.
Yep.
And then we'll probably have a new, possibly Democratic governor who won't support this. Neither of our Democratic senators, Martin Heinrich or Tom Udall, support this. Martin Heinrich came out and said that the president was out of touch with the people.
Well, historically, he's incorrect, your senator there, but it's not the senator's decision. It's the governor's in cooperation with the White House. And if you have a change in governors, it could impact what happens to the border security. Hard-pressed to believe that they would pull off the security if it was helping the American people, stopping sex trafficking, illegal drug flow, and they're saying, no, politically we want to do that. That would be a horrific resolution if that's what happens. But elections have consequences. All right, that's going to do it for the broadcast. You all have a great weekend. Let me encourage you this. We're on a matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org for that. Any amount you donate to the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Let me also encourage you to follow us. Go to our website at ACLJ.org. Get our newsletters and updates, emails. Also, follow us on Twitter. Jordan has a page. I've got a page. Than has a page. We encourage you to do that. That'll do it for the broadcast today. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at ACL.